Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Andrew Johnson of National Review. And for Jim Garrity today, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And while the cat's away, the mice will play. We're going to do four martinis today. Just don't tell Jim when he comes back next week. But, Andrew, it's always good to have you with us. And thanks for the challenge of the big four today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to downing them all.
Excellent. All right, well, let's start with the good. And anytime a political party is more than a couple weeks away from Election Day, and they're already looking at the moral victories coming away from the midterm elections, even if everything the other party wants to accomplish gets accomplished, chances are you're in pretty good shape heading into those midterm elections. But here's what Sally Cohn, a Democratic strategist, and I think she's a CNN contributor now. She used to be at Fox, and I think she was even at MSNBC for a while. Number one, the Democrats at least contested for the Senate. Even though they lost a 10-seat majority, potentially, at least they contested for it. That's her one point. Then Democratic policies are emerging as third rails, including Obamacare and whether to repeal or just reform it. Voters also know about the Republican war on women, and she believes Republicans appear desperate, which is an interesting conjunction with the fact that the Democrats could lose that 10-seat majority. So, Andrew, it looks as though Democrats are already trying to spin the results, and it's not even November 5th yet.
Yeah, what I like about this is that she's sort of doing counter to what every other left-wing pundit is doing, which is writing that, you know, if Republicans going to take control of the Senate, this is horrible for everyone. They're going to terrorize their country. They're going to, you know, impose their archaic views. And at least Sally Cohn's being somewhat optimistic and you know, and trying to find the silver lining and all of it. So I can at least appreciate that from her. But yeah, I mean, you just kind of see the participation trophy mentality of this process where, hey, at least we gave it a good run. Sure, our policies are unpopular. Sure, our president, you know, no one wants to be near our president. But we're trying really hard with the best we can. And we should pat ourselves on the back for that. So it's a good sign for Republicans when Democrats have reached that stage. And at least Sally Cohn's trying to, you know, look at it glass half full.
There you go. Well, let's hope she's right. Let's hope that is the best the Democrats can take away at the end of the midterm elections. Let's move on to the bad martini now. And of course, as we've mentioned a few times now, Republicans need a net pickup of 6 seats to take the majority in the U.S. Senate, in addition to a number of promising opportunities to take over seats currently held by Democrats. There are basically 3 seats Republicans need to hang on to the Democrats have a crack at right now. Mitch McConnell looks pretty good, pretty safe, heading into the last couple of weeks in Kentucky, and thanks in large part to Alison Grimes refusing to say who she voted for in the last 2 presidential elections. Pat Roberts is doing better in Kansas, but that's still very much up in the air. The one the Republicans seem most worried about, and they've shifted more resources here. Democrats also moving resources from Kentucky to Georgia, where Michelle Nunn, daughter of Sam Nunn, is at worst neck and neck with Republican nominee David Perdue. And the last couple polls actually show her ahead. And here's one of the big reasons why. Perdue's business background potentially costing him votes in Georgia, and Nunn is pouncing on it. Here's one of her latest ads.
I'm Michelle Nunn, and I approve this message.
David Perdue is defending his career amid an outsourcing report.
David Perdue, the former CEO of Dollar General, acknowledged he spent most of his career moving U.S. jobs overseas.
The attorney asks, can you describe your experience with outsourcing? Perdue responds, yeah, I spent most of my career doing that.
And when asked by reporters how he defends the outsourcing, Perdue doubled down.
Well, defend it, I'm proud of it.
David Perdue, he's not for you.
My guess is Perdue probably had a more nuanced answer than just, I defend it, I'm proud of it. But that ad is pretty effective if you don't know much. He could have talked about how he had to do it because we need to change policies in the United States. But right now, he just looks like a heartless businessman. In the last couple of weeks, that's a hard narrative to change.
Georgia's kind of slipped away a little bit from Republicans. And the thing to keep in mind is that if neither Nunn nor Perdue top 50% in just a few weeks, the way Georgia state law works is that they have a runoff between the top 2 of them, which it will surely be, in January. So we could be looking at control of the Senate not being dictated until 2015, which means that there's going to be a chunk of time in between when the Louisiana runoff, which is going to be early December, and the Georgia runoff, all these parties and operatives and everyone just focusing in on million spending in Georgia. And again, in a close race that they're hitting Purdue on stuff like this, that could be an issue. You know, if more ads like that, more of Purdue's business background comes out, none benefits from her family's legacy, if everyone's sort of shifting resources for a month in Georgia, Republicans have reason to worry. Now, again, it's still neck and neck. It's still within the margin of error. Georgia is it's not a purple state. It is a red state. It is right leaning. But none sort of has emerged to be the candidate that Democrats were hoping Grimes would be and kind of become a pickup opportunity for him.
All right. Well, let's move on to the first of our two crazies today. And Secretary of State John Kerry was speaking on Thursday night at a reception at the State Department in honor of the recent Islamic holiday. So he had an audience of Muslim community representatives there, basically, and gave a version of what's going on in the world that I think most Americans will not be familiar with. Here's a couple different clips here. Here's the first one.
The extremism that we see, the radical exploitation of religion, which is translated into violence, has no basis in any of the real religions. There's nothing Islamic about what ISIL-Daesh stands for or is doing to people. We're living at a point in time where there are just more young people demanding what they see the rest of the world having than at any time in modern history.
Andrew, on to the next clip now, and here's John Kerry's solution for it: spreading the wealth and, of course, climate change.
That's where our partnership has to be, not just for peace, but for prosperity, shared prosperity, where everybody has an ability to be able to find the job, get the education, be able to reach the brass ring. And finally, we have to build a partnership for sustainability of the planet itself. And that brings us to something like climate change, which is profoundly having an impact in various parts of the world.
And the CNS story in this also says that people in the Middle East are very upset about the way dignity is being denied to Palestinians by the Israelis. So a version of the world that a lot of people might not recognize, Andrew.
At some point, someone's going to have to go back and sort of see where the transition point was between blaming Bush for everything and blaming climate change for everything, because I feel like we missed that subtle transition, because crisis after crisis, thing after thing is blamed after this. I don't know what Kerry's thinking every time he brings it up, because this isn't the first time he's brought it up. You know, the State Department has also made it its mission to combat these things. All these different issues have been subscribed to this. But you would just think, even from a political standpoint, he would just know that that's not going to be taken seriously by people that are already skeptical of him. And so, you know, it's just John Kerry being John Kerry at this point, I guess.
Great. The standards are that low. We've come to expect no better, unfortunately. On to our second crazy real quickly. Andrew, we already have a bunch of czars, most of whom stay out of the headlines, and who knows what they're doing behind the scenes. But we've got a new one, an Ebola czar coming forth. The president set to name Ron Klain as the new Ebola czar, probably best known for helping to manage Al Gore's efforts in the Florida recount, if you've ever seen that HBO movie. But not exactly a medical guy, but apparently believed to be a decent manager.
Yeah, and I mean, he's sort of been around the Democratic Party for a while. Like you said, he was chief staff for Al Gore, he's chief staff for Joe Biden. He also had a role in approving the Solyndra loan. I'm not saying this as a glowing resume. I'm saying this as reason to be concerned. And I also always, like, you know, I was watching TV when this was announced, and they showed the graphic of his qualifications. And at the bottom, it was, you know, has wife and three kids, I think it is. And so, you know, when they're like listing that as a qualification, he can manage his family, or like they must have had limited reasoning. It seems like reactionary handling by the administration that, just yesterday evening, I don't even know if it's been more than, I guess, a little bit more than 12 hours, President Obama was saying, was sort of iffy. We may have an Ebola czar, we may not. And then the next morning, he has one all lined up and ready to go. So get ready for a new czar. We'll see what he does differently.
I think the only thing that's going to be different is that Dr. Frieden is not on TV very much anymore. That'll be my – that's my prediction.
Yeah. I guess it's a new face.
Exactly. The current one isn't working for him. But Andrew, always great to have you with us. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Andrew Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend and tune in on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.